G3. The Model of Being and Its Universal Laws. Number 22A.
We started out this morning by asking ourselves what goes on in our consciousness in the way of demonstration when we descend through the levels of science. And so we have been considering the level of science itself and have filled our consciousness with that law of principle being its own infinite principle by elaborating it through any synonymous term that comes into your mind. Then we have taken the law of divine science and have seen that in the law of divine science we contemplate God and His universe as one, the oneness of the one divine universe, so that we have just a oneness in that universe where everything is related to everything else and to its principle, so that there must be a very harmonious universe. But this may just be too simple a statement to see that, so we have contemplated what kind of law is operating in that universe. And we have seen that Mrs. Eddy now begins to explain it through the four, as the four sides of the city, saying, well, when we have a universe, we at once have first to ask ourselves what is the origin, what is the source. And so we could see that the world would say, there is only one source, one origin, one life, one being. And this one being has only one expression, namely the whole of truth. So we had the Christ as the manifestation of that word, as the one truth, Christ truth. Then we could see that when that Christ expresses itself and is self-expressed, that brings a fulfilled universe, Christianity, that universe of love where every idea is related to every other idea and is the all in all. Finally, we were asking ourselves, what then is the purpose of that universe? Why on earth should God have a creation? What is the purpose of that creation? And so the fourth side of the city said, well, the purpose of that divine principle is to bring out a high purpose, to optimize that creation constantly and constantly and constantly, so that there is an infinite development, an infinite unfoldment, an infinite evolution going on. So I begin to sense within my consciousness that on that level of divine science, really, I have only one principle at work, bringing out the plan of that principle. Now, this has been symbolized through the capitalized term in the word as the one life, not just life, but the one life, because there is no other origin, the one truth, because there is no other truth, the one love, because there is no other way of fulfilling the universe, and only the one divine principle love, because there are not many principles that can bring forth an evolution. If we look at that law of one life, one truth, one love, one principle love, we naturally know through the law of synonymy, or through the law of the holistic oneness, that this one life, for instance, in the world only accentuates a certain point of the whole, so that we don't have to think that in that word of God as the one life, only the synonymous term life is at work. Life is just accentuated, but naturally all the other synonymous terms are there the moment I consider those synonymous terms as the origin of an operation. Or we have seen that in the Christ we have just the synonymous term truth as the one truth, the one Christ, which naturally doesn't mean that this is only truth, that there is only truth at work there. Truth is synonymous with all the other synonymous terms. So therefore, in that law, truth or the Christ works through all the synonymous terms, through mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. And so in the third side of the holy city, the accentuation was one love, one fulfillment, but not, that was only an accentuation. Love is always synonymous with all the other synonymous terms, so that we can enlarge that also and can see, well, we have to do with a fulfilled universe of mind and spirit and soul and principle and life, truth and love. And the same in the fourth side of the holy city, that we have not just there divine principle love, but we have there that actually mind is the divine principle love, that spirit is the divine principle love, that soul, principle, life, truth and love is the divine principle love. Can you see how, what we said? A holistic sense is always taking in the whole. No matter which aspect I accentuate, which part I accentuate, it is always an accentuation of the part which is representing the whole, which has the characteristic of the whole. Do you remember now the definition of structuralism? And of structure, that in a structure we have the interrelationship of parts, but those parts are always characterizing the whole. They carry the characteristic of the whole. Can you now see why we need structuralism? So that on that level we are not restricted just to think about the one life, the one truth, the one love, the one principle love, but can also see that that law of self-organizing, that law of self-operation as were Christ, Christianity and science applies therefore to every synonymous term. And so in my treatment I like to see that I can go through those four on the level of divine science from the point of view of every one of those synonymous terms. I only have to stick to the tonality of divine science, which never deviates from that level and stay with that level of principle being always one with its universe, God one with man and the universe. And then I can elaborate it, I can restructure that level through the seven synonymous terms. And there is nothing more beautiful and when you can sit down in the quietude of your consciousness and just go systematically through that law, where perhaps you begin with mind and see in that law, I must always see that mind is the one life, the one origin, that mind is the one truth or Christ. There is no other Christ truth but the synonymous term itself. Then from the point of view of Christianity, that there is only one mind expressed as a university of mind, and not any, no mortal mind enters in, or at the foresight that that mind is really the divine principle love that has just one purpose, to glorify mind. So if you keep that in your consciousness, then we go together through that terrific law, and we give the world a wonderful treatment of wholeness, because that level of divine science is always showing the wholeness and unity and coexistence of God and the universe. Therefore, there I see, and I start with mind, that the divine mind manifests itself always. Now comes the origin out of itself. that the divine mind has no other origin but mind itself, that mind always says, I am the well of life, I am the only well of life, and I manifest myself always. I come to the Christ as the whole of mind. This is the truth about that universe, that the whole of mind is the Christ to the universe, not just the part of that mind, not just human thinking or right thoughts is the Christ, but the whole of mind is the Christ to the universe. And I come to Christianity and I see that this mind operates or manifests itself always as mind, not just as ideas, not just as particular situation, but always as the whole of mind. That whole of mind is the level of divine science. So that I begin to see at this point when I give a treatment, the whole of mind is always fulfilling itself in the whole universe. Not just partly, not just some incidents where mind touches a situation, but it is always the whole of mind that is expressed, so that mind expresses it as itself, as the whole of mind. And finally, in the fourth side, I see that mind manifests itself always not for some little purpose, but for the whole, namely for the purpose of glorifying mind. And so I see, I go quickly through it, mind manifesting itself out of itself, out of the whole of mind. Mind manifesting itself through the whole of the mind of Christ. Mind manifesting itself in Christianity as the whole realm of mind. And in science, that mind manifests itself not for just some nice results and success, but for the glory and bigness and grandeur of bringing out the glory of mind. Then I get a great sense of the mind operation. The same I can do with spirit and can see, well, the nature of spirit is that spirit is constantly evolving itself. We know spirit through the idea, say, evolution, development, unfoldment, so that I can see, if I stay on the level of divine science, I can see and ask myself, what's going on in the universe? And I say, there is nothing going on except one great law, that spirit unfolds itself out of itself. It doesn't unfold itself out of my consciousness, out of my thinking, out of any material evolution that goes on. Spirit unfolds and evolves itself out of the whole of spirit and of from no other origin. And so I begin to see in the Christ that spirit evolves itself through the whole of spirit, through the whole Christ spirit. There is no other power that can manifest itself than the power of the spirit of the Christ, so that I feel that the whole Christ in its spirit is manifesting itself in the world and therefore blows wherever it wants to blow, no matter where it is, the whole Christ spirit is at work, bringing out what in Christianity just manifesting, evolving itself. Evolving what? Not just a little incidence, a little life, etc., but as the whole of spirit, so that I can see that spirit operates in the way that evolves the whole of spirit and manifests itself as the whole of spirit. When I come to the fourth side of the city, to the divine principle love, I can see that mind evolves itself for the one only purpose, to show that the principle of this level is love, namely to glorify spirit, to glorify the universe of spirit and nothing else. Not to glorify people, not to glorify just one healing, etc. This is too small at that level. But to see, and I run quickly through it again, through the four, that I see and look into the infinitude of the one Spirit, which says, I unfold all out of myself, out of Spirit. And I unfold everything out of Spirit through the one and only Christ Spirit. And I unfold everything through the Christ Spirit, bringing forth only my Spirit, the universe of Spirit, as the universe of Spirit, not as a single demonstration. And for what purpose in the fourth? Just for the one and only purpose to glorify the spiritual and Spirit and God as Spirit, to glorify that that reality is nothing else but Spirit. Or I can go to soul and can go through the same law and see that soul has as its nature to identify itself in an unchangeable way constantly, so that soul doesn't change. And so I begin to see that in the universe there is that identity, that changeless identity, which is kept intact throughout the rhythmic round of the calculus of being, which says, all right, from the point of the world, there is only one source, one life. So that soul says, I'm the only source of identification. No person can identify rightly. No theory can identify rightly. I, soul, am the only origin and authority to identify rightly. So soul says, I identify myself out of myself and using only one Christ, therefore identifying itself only through the one Christ and not through anything else. It does not need any other mediator and any other medium through which soul identifies itself. Therefore, that important second side of the city where we really rely and say, I don't know what the identity is. I don't know what is right. I don't know, but soul knows it. Soul identifies it, but through the whole of Christ. It brings the whole of Christ in operation in order to bring out the true identities of being. And therefore, in Christianity, I can see that soul identifies itself as the whole of soul, and not just as a part of soul, not just only as one idea of soul, not just as one example of how soul exchanges the objects of sense for the ideas of soul. No, it's much bigger. It identifies itself always as the whole universe of soul for one big purpose. And I come to the fourth side of the city and says that soul has just one principle love, just one aim, just one meaning, in order to bring out the glory of soul, that soul is unchangeable, that it cannot be touched, that it remains what it is, that God never changes. Or I go and take the whole law from the point of view of principle, for instance, and I sit back and say, what's going on in that universe? What is the only thing that's going on in the universe of God? And I say, well, there is only principle going on. But how is principle going on? I just can't say, well, all that is going on is principle, and I don't have a clearer, more detailed sense of that going on. So I take the law of divine science and see that principle demonstrates itself out of itself. It doesn't demonstrate itself through people, by the help of people, through theories and so on. A principle says, I am the source from which everything flows out and which demonstrates itself. So that I feel only principle is that which says, I demonstrate principle out of myself. through which channel does principle demonstrate itself? Only through that one infinite channel of the Christ principle. Only the Christ is working, so that one infinite principle is working through the whole of Christ as the principle of manifestation and of demonstration. So I get the feeling that that principle is not just working for a certain situation or for a certain time or for a certain person or a certain patient. I feel now that principle cannot be limited to something small. The greatness of principle remains great, therefore it also operates as the Christ in its greatness. And therefore I can feel that that principle is demonstrating itself in the whole universe through itself, through nothing else. And as Christianity demonstrates itself as principle, and not just as single calculations of ideas, but always as all the calculations taken together as one principle, so that the whole universe just reflects and fulfills that one principle. And I can see no other universe but the reflection of that principle. For what purpose on earth does that one principle demonstrate itself out of itself, through itself, and as itself, for namely forth for the glory of principle, for the glory not of man, not for the glory of a practitioner, not for the glory of a patient, not for the glory of finding a solution for something, but for the glory that there is one God, one principle, and that's that. Or you take the whole law from the point of view, say, of life. And what do we see from the point of view of life? We know that life eternalizes itself. So I can see that life eternalizes itself through what? Or out of what? Out of itself. That's always the very first point. The origin, the one life. So that I see life is the origin. So life eternalizes itself out of itself. That's why life demonstrates life. Life capitalized demonstrates life capitalized. So that life is, so to say, the source that is constantly self-sustaining and self-maintaining and self-providing. And so I see I don't have to support life. I don't need another origin that supports life and eternalizes life. Life eternalizes itself, out of itself. How can it eternalize itself? Through the one Christ, through that Christ life. So I see that life eternalizes itself through the whole life, through the whole of life, capital L, not through the little lives, not through the lives of Mrs. Eddy, through the lives of Jesus, not through the life of John Dolly, not through the life of anybody. Life manifests itself, eternalizes itself. Through which channel? Through its own channel of being life, the life Christ that is at work. And what is the outcome, the Christianity sense of it? That life eternalizes itself as the whole life, as the whole of life, capital L. Life demonstrating life, capital L. Not just for demonstrating the life in this situation, in that situation, in another situation, in specific situation, but life never can be lesser than life. So life eternalizes itself as the whole of life. For what purpose in the fourth sight? For what purpose does that go on? For the one and only purpose that the principle love says, in order to glorify the meaning of life, really the purpose of life, to testify that life is eternal, and therefore nothing can change the eternality of life. Or we take truth. And we just go through the same law of truth That law that says everything comes out of itself, through itself, as itself, for itself, that's the law. Therefore, truth says, I am truth. I'm the one truth. That's the one being. There is only one truth, and truth says, I affirm myself. Truth affirms itself. I affirm myself through myself. I don't need anybody to affirm me. I don't need people to affirm me and say, I affirm truth. Affirm it. I claim truth. Truth says, I claim myself because I'm my own origin. And so truth stands for itself. It doesn't need any other help. It says, I am truth and I don't need the help of anybody else and of nothing else. Truth says, I have within myself enough power of affirmation to be the truth of being. And truth says, I affirm myself through the Christ, through myself, through the whole of truth. Not just through some truths in the plural, but through the one and only truth, so that I have feeling that the one truth always in its fullness comes to the universe and says, through that one truth, through that one Christ truth, I come to the whole universe as what? Not as demonstrations of some kind of truth, but always as the affirmation that truth is universal. So that truth affirms itself in the whole world, so that the whole world knows the truth. I don't have to teach constantly and hammer it in the world what truth is. Truth has within itself enough affirmative power to say and to stand for itself as a universe of truth. For the one and only purpose, that the purpose of the principle of love is that we glorify truth as the only truth, that there are no other truths. That the other sciences, the other opinions, dogmas, doctrines, and so on, hypotheses, have no truth. The only truth that is existing and should be glorified is God truth. So we have that wonderful sense that truth affirms itself out of itself. It affirms itself through the whole truth, but that truth affirms itself as the whole truth in the universe, and forth for the glory that there is just one truth at work in the world.